open His Holy Word. I invite you to open your Bibles today to Romans chapter 8 as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel that is presented here in the book of Romans. We've had a couple weeks already here in Romans chapter 8, and we'll have several more as we go along through this wonderful chapter. I think one of Paul's main reasons for writing Romans chapter 8 was to give believers, to give Christians, those who are in Christ, the assurance of their salvation, even in the midst of our very real struggle that we have with sin, as Paul had described in Romans chapter 7. So chapter 8 begins with that powerful, wonderful statement of truth that he gives in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 2, he explains why. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, this week we celebrate Independence Day, or the freedom, the liberty that we have as a nation. But even greater than that is the liberty, the freedom that we have from sin and death because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, has made me free, has given me liberty from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit comes to every believer and imparts to us life that frees us from the condemnation that we have from our sin. So in verses 3 and 4, Paul explains that this came about through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. God's Son came and took the condemnation that we deserved for our sin. He took that for us, bearing the death penalty for our sin, so that God condemned sin in the flesh through Jesus Christ, who died for us. Now, those of us who are in Christ have a new way of life. That's what he says in verse 4. We do not walk according to the flesh. That's not our way of life anymore. He says, but we walk according to the Spirit. We have a new way of life because we have a new life in Christ, right? This new way of life is characterized by a new mindset. Those who have been justified, he says, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And so in contrast, he gives in verses 7 and 8 what is the mind of the flesh. He says, the mind of the flesh is enmity. It is hostile towards God. He says, it's not subject to the law of God. It cannot be. He says, so that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So now when we get to verses 9 through 11, Paul turns to us who are born again, and he explains how the Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer that is in Christ. And Paul goes on to explain in verse 10 that although your physical body will die, the Spirit will give you life, because you are righteous in Christ Jesus. We have been justified, made right with God, given the righteousness of Christ, as he explained in chapter 6 and in chapter 7. We've been given the righteousness of Christ, and so because of that, we have life in the Spirit. And in verse 11, he's going to tell us that although your body will die, God, who raised Jesus from the dead will one day resurrect your mortal body by His Spirit who raised Christ from the dead and who also dwells in you. It's an amazing passage that we have here today. And we're going to deal with just these three verses, verses 9 through 11. Now, would you follow along in your Bibles with me as I read that passage to you? Starting in verse 9 of chapter 8. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your holy, inspired, inerrant Word. We pray that through Your Spirit who moved holy men to write down these words, who inspired this Scripture, we pray that Your Spirit would now shine the light upon Your Word into our hearts that we could understand, believe, and live the truth that You show us today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Romans, Paul has used several phrases to describe a true Christian. Listen to some of these. In chapter 5, verse 1, he said, Christians are those who have been justified by faith. That is, we have been made right with God, where we were wrong with God before because of our sin. We were unrighteous. Now we have been made righteous. We have been declared righteous, justified by faith in Jesus Christ. He says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, that we are those who have been reconciled by the death of His Son. That we were estranged from God, enemies of God, but now we have been reconciled to Him. We are at peace with God. We are those who have been reconciled by the death of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. In chapter 6, he tells us that we were baptized into Christ Jesus and being united with Him in His death and into His resurrection. We are united with Christ so that we are in Christ Jesus. In chapter 6, verse 11, he says, we are those who are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. In chapter 7, verse 4, he said, we are joined as if we were married to Christ, being given to Him as a bride. We are joined, united to Christ. So that in chapter 8, verse 1, we saw that we are in Christ Jesus. Those who walk according to the Spirit, he says, we have our minds set on the things of the Spirit. And so now when we get to verse 9, Paul kind of gives us one more term to describe those who are Christians, who are believers, who have been justified by faith and are in Christ Jesus, who have this new life, who have died to sin and been raised with Christ. He says in verse 9 that believers are those who are in the Spirit. You see it there in verse 9? We are those who are in the Spirit. That's in contrast to those who are in the flesh. He says, but now you are no longer, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So today I want us to consider some realities that are true of every true believer in Jesus Christ, every Christian who is in the Spirit. What does it mean to be in the Spirit? And therefore, because we are in the Spirit, we walk according to the Spirit. That is, our lifestyle, the way that we live, is according to the Spirit. Well, I'm just going to mention five things today that I find in these three verses. And there may be more, but these are the ones I picked out because it's just what God is really showing me in my life today. I hope it's important to you as well. And the first one of these is this. We have, those of us who are in the Spirit, we have a new master. We have a new master. The Christian has experienced a change in who rules his life. Before we came to Christ, Paul says we were in the flesh. You'll see it there, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. We were before we came to Christ. And our way of life was, as he described earlier, according to the flesh. We lived according to the flesh. That's the way we walked in this life, the way we lived our life, because we were in the flesh. We were under the dominion of sin in the flesh. The flesh is our fallenness. It is our humanity, what we are without Christ. And that old life, that flesh, when we lived in the flesh, it called the shots. The flesh demanded, influenced, motivated, rewarded, and controlled our life. It's who we were. It's how we lived. If you are in the flesh, another term for that he used over in chapter 5 was that you were in Adam, right? All of us descended from Adam and Eve inherit that sinful nature, that flesh that we lived in, and all of us were that way before we came to Christ. And as we saw last time, if you are in the flesh, if that's who you are, if you are without Christ, if you are in the flesh, you will naturally set your mind on the things of the flesh, on pleasing yourself and pleasing your body and pleasing your flesh and pleasing you rather than pleasing God. In fact, he said in verse 8 that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But, verse 9, he says, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. You have a new master. Paul contrasts the old you in the flesh with the new you in the Spirit. Negatively, you are not in the flesh. Positively, you are in the Spirit. And so, as we saw in verses 3 and 4, when you were in the flesh, God sent His Son in the likeness of your sinful flesh for sin, and He condemned sin in the flesh. Christ paid the penalty for your sin in His flesh so that you could have a new life in the Spirit. So when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the dominion of the flesh, the ruling of the flesh over your life, it ends. You are no longer in the flesh, controlled by the flesh, motivated by the flesh, influenced and rewarded by the flesh, but instead, you are under the dominion, under the rulership. Your master is the Holy Spirit of God. Because, as he says here, it is the Spirit of God who is also the Spirit of Christ. And He is the Lord. He is Master. And when we call upon the Lord, as it says, Paul is going to say when we get to Romans chapter 10, he said, he's going to say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's going to say that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that He is Master, that He is the rightful ruler of my life and this world, if I confess Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, He says that then you will be saved. Jesus is Lord, and the Spirit that comes to live in us who are believers is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, who is the rightful ruler of all the world. He is our new Master. And so because of that, we must walk a new walk. We must live that kind of life. And so, you know, the question comes to us is then, why do so many Christians, maybe you, make such little progress in their walk with Christ? I think one major reason is that we don't understand this truth. We think that we are still in the flesh. We're not. We're in the Spirit. And so because we think that we're still in the flesh, then we listen to what the flesh says. And we think that we're still under the lordship, under the domination of this old life that we were, this old flesh, and so we listen to it and we do what it says. We don't have to. We have a new Master. We have a new Lord. And so he says in Colossians chapter 3, he's going to say something very similar to what he has said here in Romans chapter 8, where he said, those who are in the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. In chapter 3 of Colossians, he commands us to do that. He says, so set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. Think about those things, he says, because that's who you are. You have a new Master, you have a new Lord, and therefore think constantly about Him. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Listen to His voice. Obey Him. The mighty Spirit, that same Spirit of God that hovered over the waters of the deep at creation, that same Spirit who breathed life into the first man, Adam, and he became a living soul, that very same Spirit who descended from heaven like a dove and was on Jesus Christ and empowered Him all during His earthly life here as the Son of God. That same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead when He was dead and buried in that tomb for 3 days and He came back to life. That Spirit, the Spirit of God, He says, dwells in you. He is your new Master. He is the sphere of your life. You are in the Spirit. You are under His influence. And we must not think of the Spirit as some mild-mannered guest who really doesn't care what we do. The Holy Spirit of God who lives in us is the sovereign God of the universe. He is the Lord. He cares about what you do. He is exercising dominion, lordship, mastery over your life. He is the rightful ruler of your life. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is God. He is the Lord. And He works to form Christ in us. He conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ, he's going to say down in chapter 8 here, verse 29. And so, number one, you live in the realm of the Spirit and not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. He is your new master. Secondly, what does it mean? It means this. You have a new resident. I love the next phrase in verse 9. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And when Paul uses that word if, he's not saying that might be true. He's saying since this is true. He says you are in the Spirit since the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are in the Spirit, therefore you are in Christ, therefore you are a believer, you have been justified. All those things that we have said so far in the book of Romans are true about you. There is no condemnation for you because you are in Christ Jesus. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. Paul is saying, you cannot be in the flesh any longer because the Spirit of God dwells in you. You remember back to chapter 7, verse 17, when Paul was talking about his struggle with sin and how what he wanted to do, he did not do, and the things that he did, he hated, and how he loved the law of God, but there was another law, this law of sin, that was at work in his members. And he said in verse 17, he said, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin who dwells in me. And that very same word there for dwells is the word that he uses here now in verse 9. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Sin dwells in our mortal flesh, in our bodies, as a squatter. He is not the rightful resident. God owns my body, my soul, my spirit. All of me belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And His Spirit has come to be in my life as the rightful resident. He is the one that holds the title deed. And He lives there as the one who's supposed to live there. But in addition to that, there is this sin that in my mortal body, in my flesh, tries to continue to be there as a squatter, not supposed to be there, not supposed to be the ruler of my life. Christ is the ruler of my life, but this squatter wants to take control. Here, Paul contrasts this squatter of sin with this permanent, rightful resident, the Holy Spirit of God who lives in me. Let me ask you, does the Spirit of God, does the Holy Spirit live in you? It's clear throughout the Scripture that every true believer in Jesus Christ, one who has been justified by faith, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul is talking about the church there, and he says in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verses 19 and 20, he says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As I said, the whole of you belongs to God. He purchased you with the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And therefore your body, your soul, your spirit, all of you belongs to God. And His Spirit has taken up residence in your life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, Paul paints this picture of the church, all the believers in Jesus Christ. He paints this picture of us as a holy temple. Living stones, Peter will say, that are being built into a place where God lives by His Spirit. The dwelling of place of God by His Spirit. We read that passage in John chapter 14 a moment ago where Jesus explained to the disciples that the Spirit who is with them would also be in them. That His indwelling also equaled Christ coming and being with believers. When that happened, He said in John chapter 14, verse 20, listen to it again. He said, "In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in Me, and I in you." How does that happen? He said, when the Helper comes, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. It's all of those are the same person. The person of the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in you, and when He does, it's like Christ lives in you. He said, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." And so, think about that. Think of the richness of what that means. The Spirit of God dwells in you. He takes up residence in you. He is the Lord of this house. Let me ask you, do you notice the Holy Spirit in your life? If He lives in you, you should know it. Do you recognize His presence? Do you acknowledge Him by your actions, your conversations, your activities, your habits, your ambitions? Do you notice the Spirit? Do you know when He is present in you? Listen, the Spirit of God fills you with joy at the truth of the gospel, of the truth of God's Word. He fills you with the revelation of Christ, and He fills you with Christ's faithfulness and Christ's righteousness. He is grieved over your sin. He is quenched when you put aside God's Word and you neglect His truth. He floods you with gratitude, and when you recognize that every good gift comes from God and is for you. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in you. Love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And when He does, He is not silent. He is not passive. He is not a guest inside of you that you kind of tiptoe around. He is the Lord of your heart and the Lord of your life. He makes Himself known in ways that cannot be confused. He asserts His authority over those in whom He dwells. He is the resident of your life. In fact, he goes on to say, "Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." You know, there are some people that teach that the Holy Spirit is given to believers as some kind of second blessing, that the first is coming to Christ and being saved and having your sins forgiven and being given this promise of eternal life, and that somehow secondly, you get the Holy Spirit later. But that cannot be true because it says that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. You cannot belong to Jesus Christ. You cannot be in Christ unless the Spirit is in you. And so you have a new belonging. A new belonging. The Holy Spirit does not, if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you, then you don't belong to Christ. If the Spirit does not indwell you, then Christ has not justified you, and you are still lost in your sins. We could turn that statement around in verse 9 where he says, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If we took that from the negative into the positive, we could state it this way. If anyone has the Spirit of Christ, he belongs to Christ. The true Christian is the one who belongs to Jesus Christ. By virtue of the price that Jesus paid for you on the cross, in ransoming you from your sin and redeeming you from eternal loss, and you belong to Jesus Christ. You are not your own, he said in Corinthians. You are bought at a price. He owns you. You belong to him. And so that means you don't belong to yourself. You are not the owner of your life. You're not the owner of your body or anything else. You don't belong to the world or to the flesh. You belong to Christ. You no longer belong to your job or to your hobby or to your ambitions. You belong to Jesus Christ. Other powers, even your old self, that flesh in which you live will try to, as we said, that sin in you will try to exert its claims on you. But you've got to go back and say, no, I belong to Jesus. His Spirit dwells in me. I belong to Jesus. I don't belong to anyone else. Remember who you belong to. I can't help but think that if we really believe this and live this, the church would be a lot different. If everyone would just live the reality of this truth, I am not my own. I belong to Christ. My tongue is not my own. It's not mine to just yell at someone when I'm upset. It's not mine to say something that is untrue. Because it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Christ. Right? My eyes are not my own. And therefore, why could I ever use them to look at something that Christ would not want to look at? They're not mine, my eyes. I must use my eyes to glorify Christ. He's the one who dwells in me by His Spirit. My money is not my own. I can't just use it any way that I please. I must use it to glorify Christ. My time is not my own. I can't just squander it on frivolous pursuits. I need to use it to serve Christ, to glorify Him. It's not mine. You know, that's a life-transforming principle. If you really consider that everything I am and everything that I think of as mine is not mine, it's His. I belong to Him. the mark of being a Christian is that the Spirit dwells in you, and so because of that, you belong to Christ. Number four is this. We have had so far a new master, a new resident, a new belonging, and we have a new life within. Verse 10 says, If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice that contrast between the body and the Spirit. The body is dead because of sin. He says, sin has its lasting effects on our bodies, on our flesh. That's why even though we have come to Christ, we've been justified, we've been made the righteousness of Christ, we are right with God, even though we have died to sin and been raised to a new life with Christ, even though we are new creations in Christ Jesus, our bodies still die. And you might wonder, why is that true? Why, if I am new in Christ and all of these things that He said so far in the book of Romans are true, why, if there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, why do we still have this lingering effect of sin? Because the wages of sin is what? Death, He said in Romans 6:23. Death is a result of sin. If I am now not living for sin, if now I am dead to sin and alive to Christ, why do I still die? Because we still live in this mortal body. The Spirit of God lives in us, and that Spirit is life, but that newness in us still is encased in this mortal body. A body of death, Paul called it in chapter 7. As Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he said, I love this, he said, therefore we do not lose heart. We don't get discouraged, he said. Why? Because even though our outward man, that's the body of flesh, this mortal body in which we live, even though our outward man is perishing. How many of you have a body that's perishing? Kids, even you have a body that's perishing. You are dying. And so am I. Every one of us. He says, even though the outward man is perishing, he says, yet the inward man, this new person that I am in Christ, where the Spirit of God lives in me, he says, is being renewed day by day. That should encourage you. Don't lose heart, he says. While our bodies are facing this effect of sin, our spirits are being brought to life in the righteousness of Christ, and the effect of sin on the body is still death, but the effect of the Spirit inside of us is life, so that every day I'm coming more and more alive on the inside. Even though my body more and more is wasting away. How many of you know someone that you can look at them and you saw as they approached physical death and you saw that their body was wasting away? How many of you have known a believer in Jesus Christ that every day as they got closer and closer to that, they were more and more alive? They were more and more excited about what God was doing and the prayers He was answering and how He was carrying them through that valley of the shadow of death. Because they were alive by the Spirit. Do you have that new life within? Finally, number five. We have a new body in the resurrection. Listen, what great hope, certainty that we have for the future, because God has given us His Spirit. You know, hope is one of the chief characteristics of the Christian. We saw that in chapter 5. If you don't remember, go back and read the first few verses of chapter 5 of Romans again and be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ. But listen, the hope that we have, the certainty that we have, is that even though this body is wasting away, even though this world is passing away, we do not have to be hopeless. You know, I think the one word that describes the world in which we live today is hopelessness. Think about it. Look at the pictures of sin's ravages on the world today. The disease and the bombings and the natural disasters and old age and hopelessness is written on the faces of so many people. People live their lives, however short or long, however rich or poor, however good or bad. But when they come to the end, what is there to look forward to if you're not in Christ? And this life is over, and that body is placed in the grave or burned up, there's no hope. But not for those who are in Christ. Right? Verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." This is the assurance that gives us this certain hope, a living hope, as Peter calls it. He says, the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that as believers in Jesus Christ, we will be raised from the dead just as Christ was raised from the dead. And that transforms our whole living. It gives us hope for the future, and it changes our attitude for living today. The Holy Spirit guarantees. Listen, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, He says, that Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, He said, if that Spirit of God lives in you, that guarantees that your mortal body someday will be raised to immortality. So that when you die and your body is placed in the ground, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, Paul gives this picture that it's like a seed that's planted in the ground, and someday it's going to spring to life and will be a new immortal body raised up when Christ Jesus comes again. And He promised that He would, and He assured us that He would, and His resurrection from the dead proves that He will. And He comes again, all of us who are those who have died in Christ will be raised from the dead, given immortal bodies, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, He says, and all of that will be true about us, raised with Christ. Not just spiritually, as we saw in chapter 6, which is wonderful enough that we've been spiritually raised with Christ and given this new life in Him, but our mortal bodies that have plagued us for all of these years in which sin dwells and we struggle and fight against it, that will be put away forever and we'll be given a new immortal body like Christ, completely free from the presence of sin. And the longer you live, and and the more this mortal body begins to perish, I can tell you, the more I'm looking forward to it. How about you? This is the finishing work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The same Spirit that called us, regenerated us, baptized us, sealed us for the day of redemption, who fills us and empowers us and strengthens us and grieves over our sin, who reveals Christ to us, who sanctifies us. This same Spirit will one day give life to your mortal bodies, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. So listen, let's close today with just some questions. Do you have the assurance of the indwelling Spirit? Do you have a new master that is over your life, the Spirit of God? Do you recognize the evidence of this new resident, the Spirit of God who's come to live in you? Do you see how He is transforming you in your attitudes and in your actions, transforming you into the likeness of Christ? Do you find comfort in this new belonging? You belong to Jesus. Does that bring you more satisfaction than any of the belongings of this world? Are you alive in the Spirit? Do you see the evidence in your life, in who you love and how you love and what's important to you? And lastly, are you ready to die? Do you have the assurance that if this physical body dies, that you will be with Christ because His Spirit lives in you? That your body will be raised when Jesus comes again, and that you will be fitted for a new heaven and a new earth to live with God forever? Are you sure of that? If not, today's the day to be sure. Today's the day when you need to come and say, I want to be sure that if I were to die, that I would be with Christ and someday I would be raised from the dead forever to live with God in joy and in peace and free from the presence of sin. I invite you to come to Jesus today. Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, hear our prayer today. For those who are lost, that You might save them by the power of Your Spirit, calling them to repentance, to turn away from their sin and themselves, and to turn to Jesus, who died for their sin and was raised from the dead, that they would believe, that they would put their trust in Jesus to save, that Your Spirit would come and dwell in them, regenerating, giving them a new birth, a new life. Today, Lord, You would save. And Father, I pray for Christians that we would not be living in that old life of the flesh because that's not who we are. That we would be living in the Spirit because Your Spirit dwells in us. And having that hope and that assurance every day, changing the way we live because Your Spirit is doing it. Lord, do that work in us now through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to